Amen. Well, if you please take your Bibles at this time and turn with me to the book of Colossians, Colossians chapter 4 and verses 2 through 6. We are almost at the end now of our message series on prayer. We've been doing this for a number of weeks, and we've been looking at what the Bible tells us about praying for various things. And we're in the second half of the series now, where we're specifically looking at the various people that God calls us to pray for. At first, we looked at the various things God tells us to pray for. Now we're looking at the various people God calls us to pray for. So last week, we looked at praying for church and family. And of course, that's very, very important, isn't it? And we learned a lot from God's Word. How do we pray for our families? How do we pray for our churches? Today, we're going to be looking at another very important topic, praying for the lost. How do we pray for the lost? What do we learn from God's Word about this? And we're going to be looking at a number of passages of Scripture throughout the message this morning, but we're going to start right here in Colossians chapter 4. So will you please stand with me at this time for the reading of God's Word, Colossians 4 and verses 2 through 6. The Apostle Paul writes, "Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. And pray for us, too, that God may open a door for our message, so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly, as I should. Be wise in the way you act toward outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone." This is the Word of God. Let us pray. Well, dear Lord, we ask now that you would take these verses and the others we'll be looking at this morning. And Holy Spirit, we just ask that you would take this word that you've inspired and that has been recorded for our benefit, and that you would now apply it to our hearts. Teach us, O Lord, that we might grow in our prayer lives and in our ability to pray for the people that you've placed around us in our lives. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. So today we're talking about praying for the lost, praying for our unsaved loved ones. And I imagine we all have people in our lives who do not know the Lord, whether family members or friends or neighbors, co-workers, acquaintances. We all have people in our lives who don't know Jesus. And the Bible tells us that we need to pray for them. Once again, as we've seen so often in the series, praying in this way is both a privilege and a responsibility. It's a privilege because your prayers make a difference in people's lives for all of eternity. And it's a responsibility because people need the Lord in their lives, and it may be your prayers that make the difference. Rosie and I have been so blessed over the years to see so many of our family and friends come to know the Lord, including her mom and dad, one of the greatest blessings. And it's not always right away. Sometimes it takes years of praying. But you know what? God loves to answer prayers for the salvation of the lost. And so what we want to look at today is, how do we do that? How do we pray for the lost? What does God's Word tell us? And I want us really, in the message today, just to look at four very simple prayers, four prayers from the Bible today that will help you in praying for the lost and praying for your unsaved loved ones. And the Bible basically tells us to pray in four ways: to pray for open eyes, to pray for open doors, to pray for an open mouth — we'll talk about that one, right? — and then also to pray for open hearts. And if you will begin praying these four prayers for the lost people around you in your life, you will see people come to know Jesus. And there is nothing greater in life than that. There's an outline in your bulletin if you'd like to take it out and follow along at this time. It has these four points, these four prayers there, along with the various scriptures that we'll be looking at. And you feel free to jot down some notes as we go along. One woman told me on the way out from the 9:30 service that during the message, God kept on bringing people's names to her. And so she would jot down the names throughout the message. She said by the end of the message, she had 21 names, family and friends and neighbors, that she's going to begin praying for every week now, using these prayer points as a guide. So let's get started. First of all, our first prayer, pray for open eyes. The Bible tells us that we need to pray for open eyes. And praying for open eyes has to do with awareness of need. We want to be aware of the need around us. Now, when you pray for open eyes, there's actually two ways that we go about this, okay? You're actually praying for two different things here. First of all, you're praying for your own eyes to be open, right? Praying for your own eyes to be open to the need of the lost. And then you're also praying for the eyes of the lost to be opened to their own need. So you have two ways to pray this prayer for open eyes. Let's look at the first one. First of all, you pray for your own eyes to be open. Jesus said this in John chapter 4, verse 35. He said, "Do you not say 4 months more and then the harvest? I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields. They are ripe for harvest." So you don't need to wait 4 months. The fields are ready now. When you pray for your own eyes to be open, in one sense, you're praying for compassion. You're asking God to give you compassion for the lost, compassion for their need for a Savior. You're asking God to help you to see people through God's eyes, through His eyes, rather than simply through the eyes of flesh or the eyes of man. The Apostle Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 5:16, he said this, he said, "So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer." And what's Paul saying? He's saying as Christians, as followers of Christ, we no longer have the luxury of looking at people from a worldly point of view. We need to look at people the way God sees them. Understand, every person you meet this week will spend an eternity in either heaven or in hell. And so we need to be praying for them. Pray for your own eyes to be open to the need of the lost. Have compassion for the people around you, even strangers. As you run into different people, just lift them up to the Lord. Ask God to touch their hearts. And then pray for the eyes of the lost to be open to their own need. First, pray for your eyes to be open, then pray for the eyes of the lost to be open. Do you ever get frustrated when you're talking to people and they just don't seem to care about God or Jesus or the gospel, and you try to share and they go, "Nah, I don't want to hear that. Yeah, don't talk about that." They just have no interest in it. It's frustrating, isn't it? Well, the Bible tells us why they have such a lack of interest. It tells us why they don't care about what is really the most important thing in the world. We read this in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4. It tells us, "The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers. He's blinded their minds so that they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God." And so when you pray for the eyes of the lost to be open, here you're really praying for conviction of sin. Satan has blinded their minds so that they can't see. They cannot see their own sinful nature. They cannot see their need for a Savior. They cannot see the light of the gospel of Jesus, who died for their sins. Jesus told Paul in Acts chapter 26, Jesus said to him, he said, "I am sending you to them to open their eyes and turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, so that they may receive forgiveness of sins." And so, yes, Satan is powerful, but God is more powerful. And it's the Holy Spirit who brings conviction of sin. And yes, people are blinded to who Jesus is and their need for a Savior, but we can break through people's spiritual blindness with the power of prayer. So that's the first prayer that we pray. The first one we're learning this morning. Pray for your own eyes to be open to the need of the lost. Pray for the eyes of the lost to be open to their own need. Pray for open eyes. Secondly, the Bible tells us to pray for open doors. And when you pray for open doors, you're really asking God for opportunities to share the gospel. Now, Some doors are wide open. Okay? They're wide open. You can walk through them with ease. It's wonderful when that happens. For example, in the book of Acts, God gave Paul and Barnabas a wide open door for the gospel on their first missionary trip. When they came back and they reported back to the church in Antioch, we read in Acts 14:27, they gathered the church together and reported all that God had done through them and how he had opened the door of faith to the Gentiles. When God gives you a wide open door to share the gospel, that's what we call a divine appointment. In other words, God's behind that. He just makes it. He does all the work for you. He's just, the door's open and ready. I remember running into someone that I hadn't seen since high school. And I just asked them, you know, how they've been. And I can still remember their exact words to this day. My friend said to me, "Bad news, Ray. My whole life has been nothing but bad news." Well, folks, that is what we call a wide open door for the gospel. You don't even need to knock for that one, right? And so I just simply said to him, I said, "I'm so sorry to hear that, Mike. How would you like to hear some good news?" And Mike said, "Ray, I would love to hear some good news." And so we sat down and I shared with Mike the good news that God loves him, that God sent his son Jesus to die for all of his sins, that God offers him new life and hope through Jesus Christ. And Mike was so ready, he prayed to receive Jesus that very day. God will send you divine appointments when you ask for them. Trust me, if you get up tomorrow morning and say, "God, please send me a divine appointment today. Please give me an opportunity to share the gospel," it's going to come. When you ask for them, God will send them your way, right? You just need to be aware of them and take advantage of them when they come. So some doors, they're wide open for the gospel. Divine appointments. You don't even need to knock. I love those doors. But you've got the other doors, right? Some other doors, you know, these are the doors that initially they're shut. And these doors take wisdom to open. That's why we read from Proverbs 11 earlier in the service. Proverbs 11:30 says, "The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he who wins souls is wise." It takes wisdom to win souls for Jesus Christ. Because not everyone is open to hearing the gospel. Not everyone is ready to hear what you want to share with them about Jesus. And trust me, you're going to run into some very tightly shut doors in life. And you're going to need wisdom to open those doors for an opportunity to share the gospel. And that's where prayer comes in. That's why prayer is so important. Let's go back to that verse we started with, Colossians chapter 4. And let's read that again in this context now. What does Paul say in Colossians 4, 2 to 6? He says, first of all, devote yourselves to prayer. It's all about prayer, isn't it? Being watchful and thankful. So you're being watchful. You're opening your eyes. "God, open my eyes for opportunities. Pray for us that God may open a door for our message." So I'm being watchful, open my eyes. "Now open the door for the message so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ for which I am in chains. Pray that I might proclaim it clearly as I should. Be wise." Here's wisdom again. Be wise in the way you act toward outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. "And let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone." Boy, a lot of good teaching in those verses, huh? You know, what do we see here? Ask God to open a door for the gospel. Pray that you might share the gospel clearly. Be wise in the way you act towards non-believers. Make the most of every opportunity. So that's our second prayer when it comes to praying for the lost. Pray for open doors to share the gospel. So first we pray for open eyes, then we pray for open doors. And then the Bible tells you to pray, here we go, for an open mouth. Okay, an open mouth. And when you pray for an open mouth, all you're doing is you're asking God to help you speak up and actually share the gospel when God answers your first two prayers for open eyes and open doors, right? You're asking God to give you the faith and the boldness to share the gospel when you are given the opportunity. Well, what if you're not sure what to say? Well, that's when you need to trust God to give you the words to share. In other words, it takes faith. In the Old Testament, when God told Moses, Moses, I'm sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people out of Egypt. Moses gave God all sorts of objections. You might remember some of them. Here they are in order. First, Moses said, I'm not the right person. And then Moses said, nobody will listen to me. And then he said, what if they don't believe me? And then he said, well, I'm not a good speaker. I've never been eloquent. I'm slow of speech and tongue. Do any of those sound familiar? Are those some of the same excuses we sometimes give to God? If so, we need to hear the same thing that God said to Moses. Exodus chapter 4, listen to what God says to Moses here. The Lord said to Moses, who gave man his mouth? Is it not I, the Lord? Now go, I will help you. I will help you to speak. I'll teach you what to say. But Moses said, oh, Lord, please send someone else to do it. Oh, boy, how many of us have ever said that to God? God, just send someone else, right? When you pray for an open mouth, you can trust God to give you the words to say. Jesus told his disciples this in Luke chapter 21. He told them, he said, make up your mind not to worry beforehand how you will defend yourselves. Jesus said, for I will give you words and wisdom that none of your adversaries will be able to resist or contradict. And so that is a promise from Jesus to any of us who will open our mouths and speak a word for God. So in praying for an open mouth, first you trust God to give you the words to share. That takes faith. And then when God opens the door of opportunity for the gospel, you open your mouth and share the good news of Jesus. And that takes boldness. Paul writes this in Romans 1:16. He says, I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes. And so we can be bold and unashamed in sharing the gospel and sharing the good news of Jesus. Why? Because there is power in the gospel to save. That's where the power is. Paul told the Ephesians in Ephesians chapter 6, he said, pray for me that whenever I open my mouth, that's the prayer we're on, right? Pray for an open mouth. Whenever I open my mouth, words may be given me. There you ask God to give you the words so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel. There's the boldness for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I might declare it, may declare it fearlessly, boldly, as I should. And so part of praying for an open mouth is you're asking God for the boldness to share the gospel when the opportunity comes. Because the gospel is the power of salvation for everyone who believes. But how can they believe the gospel and be saved if we don't share it with them, right? And so that's our third prayer this morning. The third part of praying for the lost, praying for your unsaved loved ones. Pray, ask God for an open mouth. And then finally, the Bible tells us to pray for open hearts. Open hearts. When you pray for open hearts, what you're doing here is you're asking God to bring about, to produce a faith response to the gospel when you share. And here's where you need to understand, this is so important, you need to understand the difference between your job when it comes to sharing the gospel and God's job, okay? We both have different jobs to play. We both have different parts to play here. What's your job? Your job is simply to plant the seed. That's your job. That's our job. We plant the seed. The Bible compares the word of God to a seed that is planted in a person's heart and then begins to grow. You might be familiar with the parable Jesus told about the farmer and the seed. Luke chapter 8, Jesus starts out, a farmer went out to sow his seed, right? And he talks about sowing into different soil and all that. And then later on, he talks to his disciples. He says, this is the meaning of the parable. The seed is the word of God. And so that's our job. That's our part. We plant the seed of God's word in people's lives by sharing the gospel with them. That's exactly what Paul did on his various missionary trips. That's all Paul did. He just simply planted the seeds And then he let God do the rest. We have a great example of this in Acts chapter 16. Luke is writing here. This is Luke's account of their visit to the city of Philippi. So Luke writes in Acts 16, he says, verse 13, he says, "On the Sabbath, we went outside the city gate to the river, where we expected to find a place of prayer. We sat down and began to speak to the women who had gathered there." What are they doing? They're sharing the gospel. They're planting seeds. They're doing their part. They're doing their job. One of those listening was a woman named Lydia. And the Lord opened her heart to respond to Paul's message. How did Lydia get saved that day? Paul did his part, and God did his. Paul did his part. He shared the gospel with her. Paul planted the seed, but the Lord opened Lydia's heart to respond to the gospel. So our job, we plant the seed, and then God brings the results. Our job is simply to pray for people and to share the gospel with them. It is God's job to draw people's hearts to Christ. Jesus said this in John 6, 44. Jesus said, "No one can come to me." No one. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. Paul puts it this way in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6. Paul says, "I planted the seed. Apollos watered it. But God made it grow." No one can come to Jesus unless the Father draws them to Jesus. And so when you share the gospel with someone, always make sure that you talk to God before you talk to them, right? Ask God to open their heart to the message. Because you can't make someone believe. It's not your job anyways. Your job is simply to plant the seed. God is the one who makes it grow. Now, sometimes that seed grows right away. It's amazing. Other times it takes a long time. Sometimes years. I just heard from a woman who used to attend our church back in the 1990s. And she attended the church. Her kids grew up here. And she always brought the kids to church alone. Her husband didn't come with her. And she's been praying for her husband probably 30 years to come to know the Lord. Rosie and I just heard from her this past month. She said, "My husband's come to know Jesus. He's in the church. We go to church together now. We're serving together. Praise the Lord." The seed is planted, but sometimes it takes time for that seed to grow. Whether it grows right away or if it takes a long time, either way, what do we focus on? We need to focus on doing our job. And then we trust God to do his. All God asks you to do is be faithful, right? Your job is, you know, simply planting that seed. When you're faithful in doing your part, you can trust God is faithful to do his part. So that's our fourth prayer this morning. Pray for open hearts. When you share the gospel with someone, be praying, even as you're talking with them, be praying, "God, please open their heart. Please open their heart to the gospel." We plant the seed, but God brings the results. Folks, we need to pray for the lost people that God has placed in our lives. Your friends, your loved ones, they are caught in a spiritual battle for their souls. And it's your prayers that make the difference. It is possible that no one ever came to Jesus without someone praying for them first. You probably came to Christ. Why? Because someone prayed for you, right? And now you need to do the same for the people in your life. You may be the only Christian your unsaved friend knows. And so if you don't pray for them, who's going to do it, right? You need to pray. And so do this. Pray for your lost family members and friends and neighbors and co-workers. Pray for open eyes, open doors, open mouth, open hearts. Right? Pray that God would open their eyes to the need for a Savior. Pray for those open doors and then be looking for those opportunities to share the gospel with them. Pray for an open mouth that when those opportunities come, you'll speak up, right? And God will give you those right words to say. Pray that God would open their hearts to respond and come to Jesus for salvation. And when you pray, keep on praying. Don't give up. No, sometimes it takes years for someone to come to Christ and answer to prayer. But in the meantime, As you pray and keep praying, your prayers are making a difference. And always remember, God loves to answer our prayers for the salvation of the lost. Amen? Amen. Let us pray. Dear God, amen. Amen. Dear God, we just thank you for your word this morning. It teaches us. It challenges us. It encourages us. Lord, I pray that we would just leave this service this morning with a fresh heart for prayer for the people you put in our lives, for the people that we know, the people we don't know. Lord, what a privilege we have. What a responsibility. What a difference we can make. And Lord, when we get to eternity, we're going to look back and we will see the difference our prayers made, and we will just give you all the glory and all the honor. Help us with this, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.